And good evening, everybody. Welcome back to Hoops HD, the Hoops HD Report, the first regular season edition of it. I am your host, Chad Sherwood, over here in the corner. Joining me off to the side here is David Griggs. Down below, we've got John Salica and John Tytel. And we are in store for a big show tonight as well. We've got a lot to go over. We're going to be reviewing the games that have happened during the first weekend and even here into the early portion of Monday evening. We're recording this around 9:30 Monday evening. Going to preview some upcoming games, and then we're going to go all in, right into the tournament. So we've got a little tournament madness, David.
Yeah. And again, we always say March is when everybody is like, oh, there's so much basketball. It's so good. These next 2 weeks, there are more games next week than there are of – you know, during any other week of the season. And I think there are more opportunities, as we're going to get into later, in that 1 week for the most teams to enhance their profile, including championship week. And the reason is it's all of these neutral court games, and it's sort of when the cue ball hits the, breaks the pool, so to speak, and everything starts to kind of take shape. That happens over the next 2 weeks. And now, is it more important than the rest of the regular season put together? No, but there are no other. This is the busiest time and one of the most important times of the whole season. That we're in the midst of that right now.
And to your point, David, if you're a team like Washington or UConn, you don't get a do-over.
Right. Yeah.
And let's get right into some of these games. And John T., let me bring you in here. Your team, Arizona, was one half of an incredible doubleheader we had out there on opening night in Hawaii, coming up with the last-second win over Michigan State. What did you take away from that game, as well as the leg cap between Indiana and Kansas?
Well, I'm glad I didn't pass out after the Spartans jumped out to a 17-2 start. I almost did, but thankfully I was able to rally, and luckily my team did as well. Kobe Simmons, the McDonald's All-American, looked great with 18 points in his debut. Kadeem Allen makes the layup coast-to-coast with 2 seconds left, win the game. Big advantage at the foul line. The other tall finish freshman, Lori Markkanen, looked solid, made a couple threes. It was great. I really went into the game with low expectations after all the offseason troubles with injuries and academics and other stuff, but it was a great day to be an Arizona fan.
All right, and how about that second game between Indiana and Kansas? Not something that I saw coming, at least, John T.
It was amazing. It was the better game in terms of entertainment value, and the offense obviously went overtime, so they scored more. But back and forth, the kind of mano a mano between James Blackman Jr. coming off of an injury filled last season and Frank Mason the third or second, I forget which where he is in the lineup, but an amazing battle. I think one had 26 points, one had 30 points. They're getting to the line. They're making threes. They're keeping their team in it. A very exciting game to watch, and I would not be surprised if both of those teams, Indiana and Kansas, made the Sweet 16, if not farther. They seem really good.
And that's why I picked Indiana to be on the two line when I did my preseason bracket, David, as you recall.
Yeah, the two line of the four line.
Salika, let me bring in here, though. Your team, Xavier, really sweated one out on opening night against a very mediocre Lehigh team, although they did bounce back this evening against Buffalo and looked a lot better.
It started out like Xavier was going to coast to a win. They had, I think, 12 points in the first 4 minutes, and then really struggled to score the rest of the way. But at the same time, for Lehigh, you're going to hear a name like Tim Kempton on Under the Radar shows quite often the rest of the way. So give Lehigh credit for hanging around for 40 minutes in that one.
And David, another game that we were looking at for opening night, or two other games we were looking at, actually. First of all, Marquette and Vanderbilt, and Matt's not here with us this evening, but his Marquette team, very impressive on opening night against what we thought was a pretty good Vanderbilt team.
Yeah, I mean, they really stomped them, and this is a Marquette team that's missed the tournament the last couple years and really hasn't been in the discussion for very long. This isn't the kind of win that, like, definitely puts them in, but it's an indicator that things are looking very up for them right out of the gate. To go in there and get a win that decisively, Marquette looked pretty good. I mean, they've looked better than they have in the past several years. A year ago at this time, they were losing to Belmont.
And David, let me stick with you for the other game that we were looking forward to the first night, which is the Clemson-Georgia game, another team that looked really good in Clemson.
Yeah, nice home win against Georgia. Now, Georgia, again, was struggling tonight. I think they did end up winning against Asheville, but
they did.
Yeah. But I nice rivalry game, the new renovated arena, good atmosphere for an opening night in what's predominantly football country, although I know Saturday didn't go quite the way Clemson wanted, but a real nice win for that's a good win. And yeah, it was a home game, but they didn't start off with a bye game. They didn't go to the Bakery like it seems like 80% of the other power programs did. They actually scheduled a good team.
Tytel, going from the teams that look good to teams that look bad, the UConn Huskies, we got to discuss them. Not only losing on opening night to Wagner, following that up this evening with a home loss to Northeastern, 0-2, did we all just overrate this team? Are they not that good?
Yes and yes. And it doesn't get any easier as they have Oklahoma State, Syracuse, and Ohio State in the next upcoming weeks. Losing to a couple of 200-level teams in Wagner and Northeastern is almost inexcusable. I mean, it is inexcusable at home. I know they're young. They got freshmen, Altree Gilbert and such, who are going to be good eventually. But the veteran leaders like Bryman, Purvis, I mean, they're not getting it done. And I don't think you can push the panic button just yet, but it's pushing the, oh, my God, like there's a problem button. We need to turn this around. And there's time, but the schedule is not going to do them a lot of favors. So if they enter Christmas time around like 2-7, like push the button, but there's time to recover.
Yeah, the other thing is one of those wins could easily be against Chaminade. Don't forget they're also part of the Maui tournament.
Chad, real quick on that. As you know, we release a bracket projection every week, and I do them early on because as you and Tytel and Stalika and Joby and everybody else correctly feel they're pointless, but I still like doing them anyway. I do them based on merit. And Wagner, having won a game against a ranked team on the road, was up on the one line. They followed that up with a loss at UMass Lowell tonight. UMass Lowell.
Oof. Yeah, I wanted to give UConn a little bit of credit after the Wagner loss that maybe Wagner was really that good. Maybe that they were going to be this year's Monmouth or the like. But no, they lose to Lowell. UConn loses again. But Sleek, let me go back to you. A couple of teams that struggled as well in opening day, although pulled out some wins. Just want to name a few of them here. NC State barely got by Georgia Southern. Texas barely got by a Cardinal Word. Any cause for concern with teams like that?
Well, I think Texas had a couple players suspended, but at the same time, that game they were actually trailing Incarnate Word in the final 2 minutes. But I suppose we can ask teams like St. John's and Nebraska just how tough the Cardinals can be. But NC State, I think it was Georgia Southern that was causing them heartburn. But
yep, 2 points right over Georgia Southern.
Pull that out. But another team that was not as fortunate, Penn State on opening night. Against Albany.
Yeah, and David, I want to mention a couple of these here. Penn State losing at home to Albany. Another one was on Sunday, Washington losing at home to Yale. And a third one, our good friends at BC losing at home to Nicholls State.
Yes. Well, I don't think any of those are all that surprising. I mean, you may – and in fact, like the Yale game, Tytel called it, and I think we all agreed with him. So not only was that not a surprise, it was – you could argue to say that we were expecting it. The other two you may not have been expecting, but are you really surprised when BC loses to anyone?
Yeah, yeah. And John T., you were not big up very high on this Washington team, I don't think, and – but now I think Yale was actually without their top player, though, for this game.
Mekhi Mason broke his foot in a scrimmage like a week ago. That's why I wanted to dial back my prediction that Yale had a chance. But somehow they came through. Fultz seems like he is going to be the number one pick. 30 points, 7 boards, and 6 assists in his college debut. Obviously, a one-man team isn't going to get it done. I still don't know how Yale did it. Like, you shouldn't be able to lose your best score and go 3,000 miles and win, but they did.
Yeah. And now Matt and I are learning the hard way about trusting a team like Washington.
Two words, Lorenzo Romar. I'll just stick with that. But Stalika, we also had the Chattanooga, the Mocs. They did get blown out on Sunday by North Carolina, but they got the win in Tennessee, and that's a huge game we were looking for them as going into their at-large chances heading into the season.
I mean, it's a nice name win, but at the same time, we're also talking about a team that I think, was picked as low as 13th in the SEC. So that was a game that Chattanooga really had to come away with. And I think they also made it official just prior to the start of the game that McKinney London would be fully eligible to go this year. And yeah. Casey Jones was another familiar face that reappeared for the Mocs in that game.
Right. Beyond that, a couple other games that were a little bit noteworthy here. St. Mary's had a very nice win over Nevada. Wichita State, a very nice win over Long Beach.
They looked great in that game. I don't think Long Beach is necessarily an at-large caliber team, but they're pretty good. I was more impressed with Wichita. I was really surprised that they looked as good as they did, considering what they lost.
And, David, we do have to mention this year, our team of the people for this season, the University of New Hampshire, tonight in Temple, picking up a huge, huge win, a 57-52 final there. So congrats to the Wildcats.
And they led pretty much the whole game. Temple went, made a run at them and even went ahead. But New Hampshire regrouped. They kept their poise and they got out of there with a win. 2-0. And we are going to get this team into the top 25. We're going to campaign for them. We're going to make this happen. That'll be sort of later on in the week, a project for Under the Radar. But
meanwhile, Cincinnati is saving the American from a complete embarrassment tonight.
Well, yeah, they picked the right half to have a good half, Cincinnati.
Well, what I'm going to do here, final thing I want to hit on, is I'm going to pull them right up here on the screen, in fact, if I can. Maybe I can't, but we should be seeing the Gavitt tip-off schedule on the screen right here. And the first game of the Gavitt tip-off challenge between the Big East and the Big Ten was tonight. John T., a great game between Villanova and Purdue this evening. 3-point win by the defending national champions.
Sensational game. I hope people either got to watch or get to watch the highlights. Competitive throughout. One team would pull away, the other would come back. We had a 60-footer to end the first half by Purdue to tie it at halftime. And Isaac Haas doesn't do anything in the first half, and he gets like 20 points in the second half. So you just sit down low, and you dunk it and hook it like unstoppable, which shows you how much Villanova is missing Daniel Ochefu. They have nobody down low to stand up to a big guy, which I think will cost them some games down the line. But they're a veteran team that rallied. They made free throws down the stretch with their sophomores, not even the senior leaders. Jalen Brunson, Michael Bridges, I believe 6 of 6 down the stretch. And a great, great non-conference win, perhaps one of the best we've seen. Obviously, with the in-season tournament, you see a bunch of teams get good non-conference wins at neutral sites. But a true road game like this to go to West Lafayette, fantastic effort by the Wildcats.
It really was. Yeah. David, sorry, your comment on the game?
I was just going to second what Tytel said. Like, see, when I second what you say, it emphasizes it like double and triple. So I was just seconding that.
Well, John T., let me stick with you for a second because I want to take a quick look at the rest of the games in the Gavitt tip-off here, starting with the huge one tomorrow night in your back door there, Maryland at Georgetown, a second year in a row.
Yes, I keep waiting for my birthday gift of a press pass to come through, but I'm starting to give up hope. It should be a good game. Georgetown and Maryland have both been good so far. It's obviously early the very first week, but Maryland does seem like a one-man team with Melo Trimble. Georgetown, surprising. Rodney Pryor coming out of nowhere as a transfer to score 32 in his debut for the Hoyas. It'll be interesting to see if they wage a one-on-one battle or if it's going to be a team effort. Georgetown has a lot of other pieces. A little worried about Maryland. They have some good freshmen, but the veterans besides Trimble seem a little thin so far.
Right. And David, the other game tomorrow night, Wisconsin's at Creighton. I really like this Wisconsin team, but it is a good road test for them early in the season.
It's a great road test against a team coached by McDermott at a time of the season when McDermott coach teams are typically very, very good. I'm not expecting Creighton to fall apart until mid-February. I think it'll be very solid until then. And it wouldn't shock me at all if Creighton got this win. I almost think that this is a big game for both teams. Wisconsin, with the strong finish last year, with the high ranking this year, has a chance to go on the road and, similar to Villanova, get a very big signature road win. That's going to look very nice on their profile. But if they come up short, then it's not really going to hurt them. Creighton, on the other hand, could really use some momentum. They haven't really been near the tournament the last couple of years. This could certainly go a long way into validating that the ranking is warranted, and it is symbolic of how good they actually are at the moment.
Stalika, coming up Wednesday night, Northwestern at Butler. Is this going to be a Butler going to roll in this game, or do you see an upset here?
I'm going to be there in person for that game, but
oh, wow.
I don't think this is going to be one of those games where Northwestern's going to be able to pull off the upset, because Butler, I think, has won, what, 25 straight non-conference games at home. They will get a stiffer test this year when Cincinnati comes to Hinkle, but I would still expect Butler to pull this one off by about 5 to 10 points.
All right, just want to take a quick look at the other four games here. Providence is at Ohio State, an Ohio State team that, as we record this right now, is struggling at home with North Carolina Central.
Yeah, about to get that game on.
That's a 1-point game heading towards halftime right now.
Do you have any idea how hard it is to change the channel when you don't have any? It's not easy.
Rutgers at DePaul in a game that nobody should watch, and Seton Hall at Iowa. Ty, tell your thoughts on those Thursday night games, and as well as another game that nobody should watch, St. John's at Minnesota on Friday.
You should watch the Seton Hall-Iowa game. I don't know if it's going to be competitive, but Iowa can score 91 against Kennesaw State and 116 on Sunday against Savannah State. Obviously, Seton Hall is a bit better competition, but I think it should be great. Fran McCaffrey, former Penn alum, trying to lead his troops out there. Peter Jock, brother of former Penn player Dowd Jock. So we have a lot of Quaker connections for this great Hawkeye team.
All right. David, any other thoughts on the rest of this of the challenge? And do you think the Big East with the 1-0 lead already takes this, or Big Ten going to come back?
Let's see. I think it's going to be close. It's kind of hard to say. And one of the things about it, did you see the memo that came down today from, I think it was a joint agreement between the Big Ten and the Big East office. The DePaul-Rutgers game will only count as half a game.
Okay.
So the loser of the winner of that one only gets credit for winning half a game.
It's just to leak your thoughts on the outcome of the tournament and whether it becomes a 3.5 to 2.5, or what is it, 4.5 to 3.5 final.
Well, last year I believe it was a 4-4 split with each conference taking 3 games home and one on the road. But if we can get those games back up, I was just going to see if I could give a quick projection as to who's probably going to come out on top this year.
I actually think I just lost it.
Nice going!
I was going to say the Big East got one notable win on the board, but honestly, I think after Wisconsin wins at Creighton, we're probably looking at another 4-4 split this year. I could easily see chalk holding up the rest of the way at home.
Right, and I kind of agree with you there too. But what we want to do with the rest of our show here, this could be the you know what? We have two other games I want to discuss before we even get into the rest of our show. And Tytel, let me bring you in for them. That's coming up here Tuesday evening, a doubleheader to conclude the tip-off marathon that we're about 3 hours into and about 27 hours left in. The Champions Classic, though, Michigan State, Kentucky, followed by Duke, Kansas. So the kind of also the loser's bracket from Hawaii there, both teams that lost coming out again.
It is, well said. So the one thing I would say about this is there's going to be freshmen galore for all four teams. Because of all the injured Duke freshmen, I wish this game was played in like March, and it might very well might be. We'll see. Duke just had so many losses with Giles and Tatum and Bolden that even if they're favored, which I believe they are, especially after Kansas lost, I kind of think Kansas is going to win this one just based on the numbers of the bodies. As far as the other Wildcats and the Spartans, it's a coin flip. Michigan State is young this year after losing 4 starters from last year's team. Calipari and Izzo, a couple of Hall of Famers going at it. I'll give that to Kentucky just because I think I picked them the other night to go all the way, but it would not at all shock me because they looked very sloppy in the first half the other night. So I think it'll be Kansas and Kentucky winning, but it's a coin flip because they're both so young and it's so early in the season.
David, you agree with him?
Yeah, I do. Yeah. And again, I am just saying that to verify what he just said, because when I do that, it double triples the emphasis.
I missed the laugh track from Hangouts.
Let's go ahead right here if we can do this. I'm going to try to pull up another screen share, and this is coming right off of the HoopsHD.com website. For those of you that want to follow along, maybe you're listening to the audio-only version of the podcast here, Go to hoopshd.com, click on the in-seasons tournament tab, and you will see what we have right up here. And what we want to do is go through all of these events. Now, first of all, David, for those that aren't familiar and hear about these terms, exempt tournaments and all, can you just explain for people what an exempt tournament is?
I can. Would you like to?
Yes, please.
Okay. The rules are that you essentially get, every team gets 30 games. Now, the conference tournament, which everybody now plays, with the exception of teams that don't qualify for them, the tournament in its totality counts as one of the 30. So, you know, if you, it doesn't matter if you play 2, 3, 4, or 5 games in the conference tournament, that just counts as one game. The one exception to that is if you're in an exempt tournament, you're allowed that tournament, which is normally either 3 or 4 games, plus another 27 games. So instead of 30, you're allowed 27, but you're also allowed to play the entire tournament, which normally comes out to, I'm sorry, it's 28. So essentially an exempt tournament is up to 4 games that counts as one.
It counts as one, but if you don't play in one, you get an extra game. So in a way, it also counts as two. But long story short, there's a lot of different formats, and a lot of them use round robin.
That was a real simple explanation. complicated to
A lot of them use round robin formats for these events, and so it's not really a tournament. It's just an event to count for 4 games. Some of them use a portion of bracketed games and a portion of unbracketed games. Yes. What we really want to concentrate on is college basketball fans. We love tournaments.
One more technicality, Chad.
Yes.
All teams have to be from a different conference, and you're allowed up to 4 games, and they all have to take place within 14 days.
Thank you. Okay. But on that note, what we want to do through is go through just the bracketed events. We're not going through the non-bracketed games that are parts of these same events. We're not going through the other types of events. We'd be here all night if we did that. But they start this week, Thursday night. The first one is the Tire Pros Invitational in Salika, formerly known as the Puerto Rico Tip-Off, got moved out and moved to Orlando, though. And what do you think about this field that we have on the screen right here?
Well, keep in mind this is only going to be a one-year thing because of the Zika virus that we've alluded to earlier. It's actually going to start at 11 in the morning between Clemson and Davidson. And then you've also got Xavier and Missouri on one half of the brackets. The other half of the bracket has Northern Iowa and Arizona State, as well as Tulane and Oklahoma.
Good job, Stalika.
Right. Tytel, when I look at this, I think that Clemson-Davidson game could be a little bit interesting, but I think it's Xavier's tournament to absolutely win. Do you agree there?
It is, but I don't think it's a cakewalk with those two other schools who they're going to face in Friday semifinals, as well as Oklahoma looming. I also think the Clemson-Davidson winner against Xavier game would be the greatest, like, actually that's the consolation game, so never mind, but that game I think would be the best one of the whole 8 games.
I agree with that. Like, if it's Xavier-Clemson, and I think it will be, that's two teams that we think are tournament teams.
Now, if Xavier were to somehow stub their toes and lose their opener, then you're talking about potential games against Arizona State and Tulane, which are not going to be nearly as helpful as Northern Iowa or Oklahoma would be.
Losing to Mizzou is not stubbing your toes. It's stubbing your entire face.
If Xavier loses to Missouri, they are disqualified from the NCAA tournament right there. I'm sorry. They will have done something worse than what UConn has done. I'll just put it that way.
You won't hear any argument from me.
Dave, let me stick with you. Let's go down to the next event that's also begins Thursday. That's the Charleston Classic. The other major Big East team here, Villanova, in this event with a few other teams that really don't do much for me.
Not really much of anything from UTEP this year. I keep waiting for Wake to turn it on, but I don't think this is the year. Mississippi State has, you know, the new coach in Ben Howland, and that's nice. Well, Charleston's a great city to visit if you ever get the chance to go there. And there's plenty to do other than this tournament if you happen to be in town.
Tytel, Villanova going to roll through this?
Easily. This seems to be, of the tournaments that are being played next week, the biggest disparity or discrepancy between the first seed and everybody else in the tournament. I think Villanova big.
Yeah. And Sleek, let me go over to you here as we move up to the next event, which is the 2K Classic, specifically the top bracket, the host bracket. The visitors bracket is some of the teams that play some of the round robin type of games and then play each other in a mini four team event as well. But we've got SMU, Michigan, Marquette, and Pitt. Four interesting teams, I think, in this event.
Well, based on the way things shaped up over the first weekend, Marquette suddenly looks to be the favorite. I mean, Pittsburgh and SMU also had one common opponent in Eastern Michigan. It took the Panthers two overtimes to get past Eastern, which meant that SMU was going to be playing a relatively tired team and had an easier time. But I still think it's going to be Marquette beating SMU in the championship portion, and I would probably say Pitt over Michigan for third place, if I had to guess.
David, you agree with him?
Yeah, for the most part. A lot of these teams, as impressive as Marquette was the other night, I still have a lot of question marks about them. And I think it's basically a good chance for all of them to build some momentum and get out of the gate early. Whoever wins this will get some notable wins on their profile, and we'll know. I think we're going to learn something about all these teams in this tournament.
And I'll just note here on that visitors bracket half, it's very under the radar, but we did like this Eastern Michigan team and this Howard team heading into the season. Be an interesting matchup in terms of under the radar teams if those two meet in that half of the bracket.
Less than good so far.
Yeah. John T., I'm going to bring up the other event that starts this week on Friday here, the Paradise Jam. A couple of interesting teams here like NC State and Creighton, but again, not that great of a field, I don't think.
Agreed. Thanks for skipping me on the 2K Classic that I'll be attending this week.
Oh, I apologize. Do you want to make a comment on that too before?
Oh, you guys covered it. Just wanted to get my own face and name out there. Yes, the Paradise Jam, I think it's going to be a little odd, frankly. Like, a lot of the other tournaments have signature teams like Xavier and Villanova. I don't think anybody's – I know nobody's excited about NC State and Creighton. St. Joe's made the tourney last year. Like, there's some – and there's Ole Miss and Washington State, like teams from Power Conference. But in general, it seems kind of a blah tournament. I mean, it would be great to see NC State with their hotshot freshman Dennis Smith Jr. against Creighton with their veterans. But I don't think that it's going to be amazing.
Yeah, and David, I mean, Ole Miss had to be a huge comeback tonight just to get by UMass at home. I'm not really expecting much from them in this event either.
No, but I mean, I think they beat Oral Roberts, and I think they win the next game simply because. Ole Miss isn't good, but they're not as bad as who they're likely to be playing. So they get a shot at probably either Creighton or NC State, most likely Creighton in the finals. So we'll see.
All right. Well, Stalika, in Uncasville, Connecticut.
You can't call this the Paradise Jam with a field like that.
At the Mohegan Sun, we've got a four-team event that's Saturday and Sunday. Duke, Penn State, Cincinnati, Rhode Island.
One of these teams is not like the other.
So the only question to ask here is, how about that Cincinnati, Rhode Island semifinal? That could be a good one.
Yep, two perpetually snake-bitten teams facing off against each other, although I'd have to believe that Cincinnati is going to get an edge in this one. I mean, if you remember your history in the Great Alaska Shootout going back to, I want to say, 1999, the Bearcats were able to knock off Duke, but this is not going to be one of those years. I think Duke wins rather easily this weekend, both games.
Well, so no one's going with Penn State.
No, I don't think Penn State is going with Penn State. Oh, my God.
Let's move right on.
The Cincinnati-Rhode Island game is big because you avoid a potential bad loss against Penn State if you win it.
All right. John T., I'm going to skip over the Maui on the mainland games, which do feature Chattanooga trying to pick up a couple more wins there. But the main Maui Invitational starting Monday, another great field, although David would argue that Chattanooga should be here instead of Tennessee because they beat Tennessee.
Yes. I would be correct.
This event. But John T., what do you think about this field and what do you see happening in this event? All these powerful teams here.
Fantastic field. I think one of the three best in-season tournaments we're going to have all season, stacked with Wisconsin or, I mean, just look at the names, it's stacked. You could have semifinals featuring Final Four teams like Wisconsin or North Carolina. I mean, it's Oregon with a one seed last year. Fantastic field. I'm so excited to watch the games, not even just the championship. I think the consolation games and the fifth place games could be amazing just because the field is stacked from top to bottom.
Yeah, and Chad, can we make a point to the audience? I know we all know this, but it might be fair to remind everybody. The selection committee does not view a game as less of a game because it's a third place game, a fifth place game. They just view it as a neutral floor game. That's the only way it shows up on the team sheets, and that's the only way it's evaluated. So you don't necessarily get less credit for beating Oregon or Wisconsin in a third place game than you would in a first place game. Is that correct?
That's correct, although I know it's a little bit different in Maui because you do have a Chaminade there, so you lose out on a game if you end up in the loser's bracket.
Correct.
Yeah. Having to play them. So you lose out on a chance to play a D1 game. That Chaminade game won't count at all unless you lose it.
So let's not forget Iowa beat Wichita State in the seventh place game last year.
Right. But let me go through each of you here. Who do you think wins this event? David, let me start with you.
I'm going to go with Oregon, but I really like a lot of these teams. Oregon, Wisconsin, and North Carolina, I think that those are two-line teams are better right now. They're certainly all ranked very high. Connecticut, I don't see them winning this.
Stalika, does UConn make that huge comeback until they win this event?
Fifth place, maybe, but I'm going to take North Carolina over Wisconsin for the championship and – third place, I'm going to say Oregon.
Titel?
I will take the heels, but do not sleep on Oklahoma State. They have a very easy schedule to start their season. Jawan Evans could end up as Big 12 Player of the Year. They are really good, I think.
Yeah, they actually were struggling this evening, although they pulled away late in their game they're playing tonight against some But I think Oklahoma State gets by UConn. I actually like Carolina to win this event also, just because I think Wisconsin, Oregon in the semifinal, those two teams could – beat each other up so much that they may not have enough left for the Carolina game, where Carolina has a year course to get there.
Yeah, the way UConn has looked in their first two games, I don't think it matters if they're asleep, awake, or whatever.
David, this is, as an under-the-radar guy, this is one of your favorite events, the Gulf Coast Showcase.
Yeah.
Reserved for under-the-radar teams, which apparently also includes the American with Houston in this event.
And George Mason, who should be off the radar pending, but I like a lot of these teams. Houston, we've talked a lot about them, albeit not under the radar, but a program that's really trending in the right direction. I'm big on Kent State this year. We like Vermont. Hofstra, not so much. I really liked them last year, not so much this year, but still a good event. And it's a chance to get a little bit of meat. We're not talking about huge, like, jumping off the page type of wins, but to get three wins away from home against decent competition does help your profile some.
Yeah, and I'm going with Houston to win this event. I think they're by far the best team in this field. Stalika, let me go over to you here in the Legends Classic, specifically the host bracket, Notre Dame, Colorado, Texas, and Northwestern.
Yeah, this is one of about 5 or 10 doubleheaders being played in the Barclays Classic from Thanksgiving to Christmas. But if we look at the matchups right here, I would probably say Notre Dame and Texas face off in that title game with the Longhorns getting a slight edge. Although, wouldn't surprise me if Colorado won this thing either.
That's who I like.
Yeah, Titel, I wanted to give – as soon as he mentioned Notre Dame winning that, I want to throw it over to you because I think you're on board with me on Colorado a little bit more than he is.
I do like the bus. For some reason, I thought that Notre Dame plays well in New York because they have a ton of alumni that kind of make it a home court setting. I wish this would have been last year's bracket because these teams were all so much better last year. Yeah. I think it should be a fun event.
Colorado sweating out Seattle right now, 31 at the half, for those of you that want to check in.
Also wanted to make sure John T. is not confusing Notre Dame with Duke here.
Okay. David, let me stick with you as we go down to the MGM Grand main event. St. Louis, BYU, Alabama, and Valpo. A Valpo team that struggled through their first couple of games this season.
Yeah, really like this Valpo team, and I like Alabama too. They were kind of one of my dark horses this year. But Valpo not looking impressive, albeit they've been winning, but they haven't looked that good against teams that are, you know, pitiful. I still think this is their tournament to win, and it's a chance to get a little bit of meat, which they will desperately need on their resume because their margin for error is razor thin when your schedule predominantly consists of non-NIT teams.
And if I'm not mistaken, this was the event last year that was known as the Men Who Speak Up main event.
Yeah. And Salika, he's not giving any love to BYU. Do you think the Cougars can win this event too?
They can, but I guess the question is, are they going to be consistent enough to beat a team like Alabama or Valparaiso? We'll see how BYU does in their first major test against Princeton.
Yeah, that's a game we are looking forward to coming up, I believe, later tonight as we record this. Titel, the CBE Hall of Fame Classic, another four-team event here featuring Kansas, George Washington, Georgia, and UAB. Another very lopsided event, or do you see something happening here?
Another very lopsided event. Kansas, big.
Big.
Big. All right, David, let's go right on to the Cancun Challenge here. There's a Mayan division featuring the team of the people from 2 years ago, NJIT, but the Riviera division, Texas Tech, Auburn, Purdue, and Utah State.
Yeah, Georgia State and Auburn are playing in what's technically an exempt game right now. But as far as these teams go, how do you not like Purdue to just trounce over everybody? Is Stalika, or is that Titel would say big, big?
It's Stalika. Texas Tech, Auburn, you don't think either one of them could beat Purdue?
Texas Tech, maybe if the stars and the super moon align, but not this year.
Let's move on to the next of the very big events here. That is a good one. And Titel, let me bring it over to you here. The Battle for Atlantis, another incredible field out there in the Bahamas.
I will go a step further and say it is the best field of all the in-season tourneys. You got the Spartans, you got Baylor, VCU, Wichita State, Louisville. Amazing field. As far as who's going to win it, total toss-up, obviously. Louisville seems decent so far this year. Not sold on Baylor, and we'll see how Michigan State does against Kentucky. If the Spartans beat the Wildcats on Tuesday night, I will pick the Spartans to win the battle for Atlantis. If not, I will go with Louisville.
Yeah, and, the way the order of games here to go is not exactly the bracket. Actually, the winner of the Wichita State-LSU game plays the winner of Louisville-Old Dominion, so it's a they don't play the games quite in the right order. David, do you have a pick here in this event?
I like Michigan State, but a team that I think will serve itself very well, even if they don't come up winning, even if they don't end up winning it, I think they're going to get our attention, and I think they're going to be one of those teams that's off the radar now that's suddenly in to the consciousness. We see it every year in these tournaments. We see it multiple times, actually. I think Baylor is on the map big time after this tournament. I think they win their first two. Like, who does Baylor play if
they would play Michigan State in the semifinals if they beat?
I think they go out there and they get at least two wins.
Okay. And Salika, do you have a pick here for the event?
I'm going to say Louisville wins this event.
Louisville. Okay, I'm going to go with Michigan State to win the event. I do think they are the best team in the field. I do like this Louisville team, but nobody's going with St. John's. I'm very disappointed about that. Right.
This event did wonderful things last year. It gave us Texas, Texas A&M. It gave us Gonzaga, Washington. And I think, was this the one that gave us Syracuse, UConn as well?
It was.
So this was just a fantastic event last year, and I'm disappointed that they weren't able to replicate that this year.
And this is also the event for the one and only time all season that we all figure out where Axis TV is on our television dials. So
yep, 340 there. That's
it is not a part of Time Warner package, I can tell you that. Right.
340 on DirecTV, they got a lot of good concerts on.
Stalica, one of the used to be one of the premier events, the Great Alaska Shootout. Not much left here, although the Nevada team that and a Weber State team that we both those teams kind of heading to the season in their respective conferences. But anything you see here in up in Alaska?
I think Nevada easily gets by their half of the brackets, although you could flip a coin as to whether Iona or Weber State gets to the championship on their half of the brackets. But I would say Nevada should be able to win the championship here. And they're going to need the championship if they want to really have at-large hopes this year.
I just don't understand it, Chad. You touched on how this used to be one of the premier events, and it was great. Thanksgiving, staying up till midnight watching this. And when you have the Bahamas and you have Orlando and the Paradise Jam, New York City's beautiful at Christmas time, Maui. Why doesn't anyone want to go to Nebraska in the middle or Alaska in the middle of the winter? It just makes no sense.
Nobody wants to go to Nebraska in the winter either.
nobody wants to go to Nebraska either, but not even Tim. Oh, boy.
Ty, tell what do we got up next? Another great field here, actually, the Advocare Invitational.
Yes, along with the Maui and the Battle for Atlantis, I think this is one of the three best in-season tournaments we got. Great field, Iowa State, Miami, Gonzaga, Florida. Seton Hall made the tourney last year. Stanford is able to beat Harvard and Shanghai, so you kind of give them a little credit. As far as the winner, Iowa State has looked pretty good so far, and my apologies to Monty Morris. I did not think he belonged on the All-American caliber list of players. He belongs on that list. Gonzaga has a shot, but I'm going to go with Iowa State because of Monty Morris.
Stalica, who are you going with this event?
I'm going to go ahead and say Gonzaga.
Gonzaga. And David?
I like Florida to come out of here. I think Mike White gets it done. And I'm kind of going with a gut here because I like Seton Hall. Florida certainly doesn't appear to have an easy path, but again, are they one of those teams that comes out of this tournament on the map, like slingshot with tons of momentum, like we saw out of Providence last year and several other teams? If they go out there, even if they don't win it, I mean, if they pick up wins against Seton Hall, Gonzaga, Stanford, Iowa, no matter, depending on how it plays out, I think that I'm going to go with Florida to win it, but even if they don't, I think that they're very relevant by the time this is over. Well, another team that exploded onto the scene last year in a tournament like this was Monmouth. So part of the fun is picking who is going to emerge from these events.
And actually, it was this event that Monmouth came out of the scene with, because the Metro Atlantic, as part of the deal with this event, always has a team in it. That's where Quinnipiac is this year. I'm going with Stanford in this event. I think that none of you believe me about the Stanford team heading into the season. I think this is where they get on the map. And maybe if they don't win all three games, that they do at least pick up two victories here. David, the Wooden Legacy, another pretty big event out in California, featuring, among other teams, Texas A&M, Virginia Tech, UCLA, and Dayton's going to roll over somebody also, right?
No, this is it. This is when it finally happens. Nebraska wins this event and cracks the top 10.
Okay, Stalica, who's really going to win the event?
I think the puppet is hoping that Nebraska is actually going to beat Portland and Cal State Northridge to build up some momentum. But honestly, I think outside of the Puerto Rico tournament that I'm going to be following, this is probably my favorite field, because you have a potential Final Four of A&M, Virginia Tech, Dayton, UCLA. I'm actually going to pick Dayton as a team to come out of this field and win it.
How important is this for a team like New Mexico, who faces limited opportunities at quality wins the rest of the way? Is this an event that basically dooms them to needing to win out if they can't pick up some scalps here?
David, considering I don't think New Mexico is nearly as good as you think they are, I think it's a very important event because I expect them to go one and two.
I'm just trying to make it seem more interesting, Chad. Never mind, screw it.
But John T., your thoughts on this event and who you see coming out of it?
I agree with John that it is a solid field. I think the Dayton-UCLA winner is going to go all the way. I give the advantage to UCLA. Ordinarily, I'd go with any coach named Miller and a veteran team in Dayton. But if you look at the schedule, assuming you got this correct, it says that the semifinal game with Dayton and UCLA would be a midnight tip-off.
Yes.
That's a lot for a team to fly all the way from Dayton to the West Coast in UCLA's backyard. So I think the Bruins are going to get it done.
Yes, it is a midnight tip-off. There is a Saturday off before the final round, one day off in there. But, John T., let me stick with you here for a second. What used to be the preseason NIT, the premier event, now a little tiny four-team tournament involving maybe one team that looks like a solid tournament team heading into the season?
Yeah, it's a weird little matchup in Brooklyn. I like the Illinois-West Virginia game. I think that might be the most entertaining of all the games. West Virginia, known for the press defense, and Illinois with Malcolm Hill scoring 40 a game the other night. It's going to be a great battle to see if he can get it done against the Mountaineers. Temple, I don't think this is their year. So Florida State, I think, will advance. But I think that West Virginia is going to get it done both against Hill and against the Seminoles in the title game.
Right. And Salik, let me bring you back in here on the Las Vegas Invitational. Not necessarily the visitors bracket up there with Sacred Heart and Norfolk State, but the bottom here, Vanderbilt, Butler, Arizona, and Santa Clara.
I would probably say Arizona to beat Butler in this game, and then Vanderbilt to beat Santa Clara for third place. I mean, if you saw Santa Clara in their three-game opening cable car classic, it was a rough start to the Herb Sendek era.
Yeah, the Santa Clara's not looked good so far. And Titel, this is your Arizona Wildcats. Do you think they run through this event?
They should. Again, I think it's kind of a Dayton-UCLA thing where you have Butler traveling across the country to play 10:30 p.m., two nights back-to-back. Arizona has a home in Vegas where they play the Pac-12 tourney, and unfortunately they lose it every year. But they at least are experienced and should have a huge fan base. So I think the Cats will get it done. But, yeah, I don't even think we have to worry about sleeping on Vandy. I think that Butler is going to take care of business against them.
Yeah, I don't think it's so much a traveling to Vegas thing for Butler as it is a playing in Arizona thing.
David, let me stick with you here on the Emerald Coast Classic. Grambling State versus Rio Grande Valley. How excited are you?
Very. Oh, my God. Yes.
How about the bottom half there, though?
When you go to Nice, they don't just let anybody come to Niceville. You have to be a Centenary Award candidate to get invited to this event. If St. Francis Brooklyn does not roll over it, they should shut down their program.
How about the host bracket, though, there? Virginia, Iowa, Memphis, and Providence. David, seriously.
You've got a Memphis team that won the night and it looks to be rebuilding. You have a Providence team that so far I thought they were being in complete rebuilding mode, but looked pretty good tonight against Vanderbilt. You got an Iowa team also in rebuilding mode. And you have Virginia, who I think will get a one seed.
Okay, so that's Vermont that Providence beat tonight, not Vanderbilt.
Yes. I said Vermont. Yeah. I said Vermont. You got to go back and change.
Salika, Virginia, you agree?
I think Virginia has to be wondering when they can get into either Atlantis or Maui. But in the meantime, I think they'll settle for beating Iowa and likely Memphis to win in Niceville.
Niceville.
Ed Salika, the Barclays Center Classic, Stony Brook,
Robert Morris. Allegheny Junior College.
Okay, the host bracket here that which are we playing in the Barclays Center? Maryland, Richmond, K State, Boston College. One of the worst events we have.
Yeah, I noticed they got rid of the Atlantic 10 ACC Challenge, and this is what they replaced it with. So, if Maryland, you can't come out with two wins in this, shut it down. Just take a ticket to the NIT.
Titel, should anybody watch these games?
No, what you should watch is the visitors bracket in Towson. I think that Stony Brook and Hampton are tourney caliber teams. I think that's the more exciting competitive action, frankly.
It actually is. Like,
and I have not even found any TV, although given that Towson's hosting it, there may be a stream there on Towson's website. David, a new event this year, the Savannah Invitational. Mercer, East Carolina, Akron, and Air Force.
Yes. No, Georgia. Well, other than Mercer. Wow. The Savannah. Savannah's a nice city. They couldn't get anybody else to come there.
I'd like Sorry, go ahead.
In all seriousness, I'm big on Akron this year. I think they could be fringe bubble, and I think they roll in this event.
Well, Mercer's only a bus ride away from Savannah.
Yeah.
I agree with you. I do think that East Carolina and Air Force can be a little more competitive than you think they will be, but I think Akron and Lynn will come out with this. And Stalika, the Global Sports Classic, again, let's look at the host bracket and ignore that Jacksonville State thing, although somebody struggled with Jacksonville State the other night.
Frank Cates' team, so.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, they beat Tulsa the other night. Thank you. Washington, UNLV, TCU, Western Kentucky. What do you see down here in this event?
Pain.
Okay.
But suddenly I'm thinking Western Kentucky and TCU in the title game there. Not so far-fetched. I mean, this was the tournament that, if I'm not mistaken, gave us Grand Canyon as an exempt winner.
Grand Canyon did win this event last year. You are correct. Couple other events here, not much left. David, the Sun Bowl Classic. This is actually not even an exempt event, but it is bracketed, so it's on the page here. Akron again, and UTEP in this event. Any comments on it?
Don't call this a classic. Don't put these four teams in there and call it a classic. I like Akron big in this one.
That could be two tournaments that Akron could win this year because this isn't, yeah. Again, that's going to count as two games for each of the teams in that.
Oh, boy.
Titel, the Las Vegas Classic again. Let's look at the bottom half here, which is going to be on FS1. DePaul, Wyoming, Missouri State, USC. Anything you see there?
We're just skipping over Cornell and Troy. How dare you?
If you want to talk about Cornell and Troy, feel free.
I really don't, but I appreciate it. I think there are better things to do in Vegas than watch the Missouri State Paul Wyoming loser at 8:30 p.m. on a Friday night. But if you want to, it's on FS1. You don't even have to go find a stream for it. I think USC has to be favored, I think, big. Like, I don't love any of the other teams. I'll go with the Trojans.
Right. Meanwhile, I have to applaud Chicago State for choosing Vegas over the Florida Panhandle.
Salika, last event that we have here, and this is a decent event, not great, but a decent one, the Diamond Head Classic coming up around Christmas, including San Diego State, Utah, Illinois State. Your thoughts on this event?
This would have been a lot nicer field last year when you consider SFA, San Diego State, Utah, and Hawaii. But I think this year, I'm probably going to say even a Utah team that's reloading might finish second, but I'm going to go with San Diego State to win this field.
David, your thoughts on this field?
I like San Diego State as well. Illinois State, I know you're big on them, and I know that they kind of dropped their opener to Murray State. I'm not ready to write them off yet, though, because it was just one game, and I still think they could have a big year. But I don't know. I mean, a lot's going to happen between now and the time this is tipped off. And to me, this is what Christmas is all about. I'm kind of disappointed it's not the 23rd, 24th, and 25th. Like, why do we need to take Christmas Eve off?
Titel, is this what Christmas is all about, watching the 7th place game at 1 o'clock in the afternoon between Tulsa and San Francisco?
Not for this Jewish kid, it's not. Sorry. I am going to write off Illinois State. I think they're going to go into Hawaii at 1:30 a.m. Eastern time and get, not blown out, but lose a single-digit game to Hawaii.
Well, I believe, didn't Hawaii beat Oklahoma in this event, or at least give them a game last year?
Gave them a game. I think it came down to the final possession or something.
Right.
Yeah, that was a good Hawaii team. This is not a good Hawaii team.
All right. Well, on that note, let me go ahead and pull these down here, and let me go ahead and put us back up in our Brady Bunch style view here as well, and I'd like to go through each of you here, and Stalika, let me start with you as David takes a drink, and ask you if you have any other final thoughts or other comments about what we've seen so far and what we've got going ahead the next few weeks here.
I think it's very entertaining to see the Puppets' first bracket pick, to see Yale and Wagner as one seeds, even though we're talking about checkpoints. Not the checkpoints where he does a point two, but just the checkpoints based on what teams have accomplished or not accomplished so far this year.
John T., any other thoughts?
My final thought is about USA Basketball. For some reason, today they elected retired Joint Chiefs of Staff Chairman Martin Dempsey to replace Jerry Colangelo as the chairman of USA Basketball. I don't think this boneheaded move is enough to ruin our gold medal streak. I think it's putting it in serious jeopardy, because while Dempsey is probably king of the battlefield, I don't know what he knows about basketball. I don't know how he's going to get along, because Krzyzewski's walking out and Popovich is taking over. Seems like a very, very weird move to me.
I'd agree with that. David, any other thoughts?
A couple things. Yeah, I need to get let's see here. Just again, like all of the big games coming up this week, I know we didn't really run through the non-tournament games, but next week, very big. And again, just to reemphasize how important this week and next week are to the selection process. This is when you see teams kind of emerge onto the scene, and a lot of what happens this week is looked at heavily by the committee. And I guess what's next is, Chad, I thought, did you want to share this new promotion we have going on?
Well, actually, I wanted to first start by just mentioning one other game that is coming up Thursday night, and we'll talk about this again during Under the Radar, but New Hampshire, fresh off the win tonight, will be hosting Abilene Christian. The first home game against a D1 team for the Team of the People, so I want to go there, hashtag go dancing or die, UNH, going for the tournament bid, and it's Country Western night in New Hampshire, so both types of music, country and western. Right. David, though, we do have a new promotion. Can we get this up on your screen here?
Yes, I believe we can. Do we see it here?
There it is. It is the Hoops HD Campus Tour. David, tell us what's going on here.
Well, what this is that we have decided to model ourselves kind of after College Game Day, and we are taking our show on the road. We will come to your campus via YouTube. So if you set up a YouTube stream, you can watch us on YouTube at your campus live on tape delay. It's $200,000. Again, that's what we're charging the athletic department. We don't expect a student to pay that, although they can. If you're interested in having us come to your campus and recording live on tape delay the Hoops HD report, just contact Chad Sherwood and get it set up.
Yes, yes.
These were our reactions on Tuesday night when we found out that the Griggs Miles ticket was not going to be elected president and vice president.
Well, unfortunately, we actually had a problem with the ticket. Apparently, there was a tag on David's arm that said "Made in China," and so there was a major birther issue with him.
And that's one of my other thoughts. I'd like to encourage everyone to get out and vote this week. We need the border war back, and your vote counts.
Okay, now we've lost it. But on behalf of myself, Chad Sherwood, John Sliga, John Titel, and David Griggs, who doesn't even know what week it is or what he's doing, I want to thank everyone for joining us, and we'll talk to you again. We'll be back for Under Radar later this week, and we'll be back next week again with another Hoops HD report. Thanks a lot, everyone.